Well, hello everyone. Merry Christmas to everyone here. We are in full swing, the Christmas season. So whether you're here, whether you're watching online, or you're watching from our South venue, we are so, so excited that you decided to be with us today. You are in the right place, man. And yes, there's Christmas trees everywhere. I'm all excited about Christmas, okay? So if you see me getting a little bit jittery up here, it's just the spirit of Christmas. His name is Jesus, okay? All right. Well, today we're starting a two-part series this Sunday and next Sunday called Fear Not. And I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where fear just grips me in a very irrational kind of way, all right? Like absurd, doesn't make any sense kind of thing. So let me give an example. So if my wife goes out and she's, you know, running errands, or she's having fun doing something, and she's late coming home, or maybe I haven't heard from her in a while, my brain starts to process things that don't make any sense, okay? I start to rehearse the worst case scenario. Does anyone know what I'm talking about, okay? I start to, all of a sudden, I'm like, what if something happened to her? You know, what if she got in a car wreck and died? I can't do the funeral. There's no way I'm going to be able to do that. I'm going to be a single dad. I got to raise these kids on our own. And my wife is so much smarter than me. I'm going to have dumb kids. Like, I'm going to be an 8-year-old bachelor with dumb kids. Like, this is what I'm thinking, right? I'm like, what? You know, and sometimes, like, fear will just lead us to a place that is, it's so irrational. It doesn't make any sense. And it kind of puts us in, like, this panic mode. But the Bible says something about this. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And that's good news. It's not from God. In the Christmas story that you find in Scripture, there are times where an angel would present itself to someone, Mary or Joseph or someone, and they would usually open up or somewhere at the beginning of their announcement with, fear not, or do not be afraid. And rightly so, because when you look at angels in the Bible, they're actually kind of scary. And I don't know if you knew this, angels were not these blonde-haired, blue-eyes, really shiny, bright people, you know, that would present themselves. And they were also not babies in diapers with wings, right? Which would be scary in and of itself, to be honest. When you think about it, that'd be scary to me. I wouldn't want to see that, right? They were not like that, but they were more like these warrior beings that would present themselves to people. And so to be in the presence of an angelic being would actually be really frightening. And then there are these times where these archangels, there are only three that are mentioned in the Bible, Michael, Gabriel, and actually Lucifer was an archangel. He was the angel of worship. And so there's a few times that these angels would present themselves to people. And so I'm going to be looking today at a story when an angel presented itself to Mary. And today I want to talk about the fear of God's will. The fear of what God may be asking us to do or believe. Now, I don't know if you have someone or people in your life that you try to avoid. Don't look at them right now. Just keep your eyes right here for a moment. But there are times that maybe you like to maybe avoid people. Like, you know, you get the call on your phone, you know, and you know maybe your spouse is like, hey, who is that? It's nobody, you know, nobody really. But then maybe there are people in your life that you avoid because every time, you know, they message you or they call you or something, they're always asking something from you or wanting you to do something for them. And so you're like, oh, so-and-so's calling. And so you do your best to avoid at all costs, right, or ignore. Well, here's the thing. I think sometimes, maybe even unintentionally, I think what we do is we ignore God. We kind of do the same thing with God. In other words, we want to be as close to God, like just enough to get like the good stuff, right? The promise of heaven and the blessings. But we don't want to be so surrendered to God that you know, he has total access of everything in our life, right? Because if we did, you know, God might ask me to move to Africa, right? You know, God might ask me to break up with my boyfriend or my girlfriend, right? God might ask me to confront a friend or invite a neighbor to the Christmas Eve service here at Grace Church. God forbid that he asked me to talk to my neighbor. right? And we kind of do this. We avoid God at like all costs because we fear what he might ask us to do. And this can be so simple. This can be as simple as not going to church or not reading your Bible or not getting involved in a group or even being vulnerable in a group setting. I mean, there are so many ways that you and I try to avoid God's will and do what God is asking us to do. See, I think fear attacks us right where our faith lives, and it keeps us from stepping into the plans that God has for us. And so I want to look at this story with Mary and what she's actually facing. And in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, here's what it says. In the sixth month, Elizabeth was pregnant. So in Elizabeth's pregnancy, the sixth month, Elizabeth was a close relative of Mary. She was actually pregnant with John the Baptist, okay? So that's kind of the backstory real quick. But when she was about 6 months, God sent an angel, the angel Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman!" Exclamation. "The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid," or "fear not," right? Mary, the angel told her, "for you have found favor," there it is again, favor, "with God." Now let me just say this. If you and I, imagine for a moment, you and I, all of a sudden we experience where this angel, this archangel just came down from God and basically tells us, "Hey, God really likes you." Right? If that's, roughly translated, right? That's Miguel's international version. So if like, "Hey, God really likes you," all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, my life is about to get good," right? You're not only engaged to be married, but now you're going to get like this early wedding gift that God in heaven would send one of his top angels to come to me and say, "Hey, God really likes you. Wow." And this is what we tend to think. We tend to think of like the favor of God as like life improvement moments in our life. See, when we think of the favor of God, we think, well, like, hey, when we find like a parking spot that's close to the door, lest we walk an extra 10 feet, oh, favor of God, right? Right? Or on Black Friday, I got to the front of the line. God has favor upon me, right? Or maybe when we get a promotion at work, right? Or maybe when our kids actually sleep through the night. We are blessed and highly favored, right? Like, we get these moments where we actually translate favor with God and we equate it to these life improvement moments. But if you're taking notes, you need to write this down. Favor is for service, not for status. Favor is for service, not for status. And so to be highly favored by God is to be highly used for his service and his glory. So aren't you ready to be favored by God now? Right? Amen. Amen. Here's what the angel says, right? He says, let's continue, verse 31. Of Luke chapter 1. "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Amen to that. Now here's this thing. If you're married, you're just now hearing this news. This is not good news. This is not a great moment. In this moment right now, Mary just heard these words that she's going to be pregnant. And right now she's probably thinking, "Oh my goodness, I might have some problem with this news." Like, I don't know what, maybe she's processing in her mind. She's going, "I don't know how to receive this." Because in her mind, she could be thinking that her family's going to disown her now. That her community is going to ostracize her and that her fiance is definitely leaving her. And it's very likely that in this moment, like many of us, she would have been gripped with fear. Oh, man. Let me just pause here for a moment, and let me just tell you what I believe. I believe that you were created for something more. I really believe that. I believe that you were born for a purpose, created by God to do something that matters, something eternal, something that lasts. You were created, listen, with heaven's intention for the world's attention. You were created in such a way. I believe that God is going to speak to some of you and give you the faith to step out and obey what it is he's asking you to do. But let me be totally honest with you today, and let me just speak the truth. When God uses you, it always comes with a personal cost. When you decide to take a step of faith, to do something significant for the kingdom of God, it's very likely you will pay a price greater than you expected. The favor of God might mean that you lose the favor of men. That people aren't always going to think you're awesome, and it might mean that you go it alone for a season, and only you and God knows what is being conceived, and no one else is really going to understand it. See, it's a really good chance. If you're going to be used by God like this, if you're going to fully surrender and obey his will, it's very likely that you're going to experience pain, agony, rejection, heartache, loneliness, failure, doubt, bouts of discouragement. There'll be times that you just stand alone. People might make fun of you. They might laugh at you. They might misunderstand you. Because when you step out, opposition is going to step in. And often, let me just say this too, often the reason that you and I are afraid to follow what God is asking us to do is because we're afraid of what it will cost us, listen, in terms of reputation, relationships, and resources. It's going to cost us something. And in this moment right here, this is a massive catalytic interruption in Mary's life. And now she's having to consider the cost. I'm going to do what now? This is a big deal. And so here's a few things that if you're taking notes, I want to mention to you. Here's a few things that we can learn from this story. First of all, God's interruptions are often inconvenient, to say the least, right? Man, if you walk with Jesus for any period of time, you understand this, that so often God's interruptions are so inconvenient. Right now, are you serious? Why couldn't we have been married and then maybe about a year after, I don't know, all of a sudden I got this news. Great. But so often they're inconvenient. And I can only imagine, like, if you're married, you got this note, and you're like, you're probably not going to go tell it on the mountain right now, right? You're probably not going to just go, oh, man, this is great. I'm going to go tell everybody, post it everywhere. It's going to be great, right? You're not going to do that. This is a very inconvenient time for Mary. I remember when some years back, my son Roman, he's 9 now, and when he was about 3 years old, I was making for him one of his favorite foods, mac and cheese. Praise the Lord. So mac and cheese, and so I got a pot, started boiling some water, and as I turned away from the stove, my son noticed the boiling water, you know, the pot on the stove, and began to head in that direction. And I mean, can you blame him? In his childlike curiosity and excitement, he sees this pot on the stove, and he goes for it. And in his childlike 3-year-old mind, you can't blame him. I mean, nothing bad could actually happen. I'm in my father's house, right? I mean, this is nothing bad's gonna really take place. This is good. This can't be bad. I mean, obviously I'm in a good place right now. So he heads towards it. And obviously as I turn, and as he begins to reach for the handle, no joke, in that moment, I block his hand and I tell him, no, do not touch. Wait for daddy. Now, what does he do for the next 20 minutes? Well, I'll tell you what he doesn't do. He doesn't say, thank you, Father, for this inconvenience. Right? He doesn't say, your correction and rejection is highly appreciated, right? If he did, I would say, well said. No, but he didn't say that. What does he do? He throws the biggest fit for the next 20 minutes and cries his eyes out. All the while, I'm actually preparing something that is so good that he's going to love, but he doesn't know it. Until it's finished, and I'm ready to give it to him, and he sees the mac and cheese, and he takes his first bite, and like all of us do when we eat mac and cheese, it's good. Right? And it's so much better now. See, here's the point. We've all seen children in homes or airplanes or waiting rooms crying and throwing fits because the loving parent has restricted something or inconvenienced them with something that every adult in the room knows they cannot have. I think sometimes, listen, our vision does not go past the thing that we think we want or need. And so God's interruptions seem to us as extreme inconveniences. Why would you be doing this, God? And although God's interruptions may seem inconvenient at times to us, it is the goodness of our Heavenly Father that we go through this to experience something better on the other end. So listen, God's ways, they're not always easier, but they're always better. They're always better. When I look at Mary, I wonder, you know, what was Mary thinking moments before the angel showed up? I mean, what was she doing? My guess is that she was in planning mode, right? If I were to put this in like the 21st century lens kind of thing, she was probably on Pinterest looking for like creative, beautiful wedding ideas. And you know what I'm saying? Like she was registering at Target. She was in the process. Online, registering at Target. You know, she's planning her bachelorette party, and right there, all of a sudden, greetings, favored woman, right? Right? She drops her phone. No! Okay. What do you want, right? This is massive. This is a huge interruption. She's in a planning mode. She's trying to do what God's all called her to do this whole time, and all of a sudden, she's incredibly inconvenience. And so here's something that we also learn. What we call interruptions, God calls invitations. You got to write that one down, right? What we call interruptions, God calls invitations. Have you ever been driving on the road, right? You're headed to your destination, the thing you've been hoping to go to or to experience, and all of a sudden you get a detour. And you think it's like from the devil. And you're like, why is Virginia Street always detours? Okay, side note. Pray for me. But you're like, okay, I'm always coming to like this detour dilemma all the time. And all of a sudden, you are turned around or rerouted. And now you got to go around this or go around that. And you're like, I don't even know where I'm at. Okay? And you know, Siri's just constantly saying rerouting. You're like, I don't know where to go. I'm just going to pull over. Right? And it's just frustrating. But all of us know that a detour is there because the road that we're on, if you continue on that road, there could be something harmful down the road, something even dangerous down the road that people are trying to help you avoid. And I think so often, God has this sort of divine detour that he does in our life. And to detour us is really to invite us to follow what it is God wants for us because he knows what's better for our life. And so this interruption is really just an invitation in God's eyes. And this happens all the time in Scripture when Moses, on a normal work day, right, all of a sudden is interrupted with a burning bush. But really, it's an invitation to something greater. Saul, you know, when he was on his way to kill more Christians in the New Testament, but he was interrupted on the road to Damascus because God had something greater for him in his life. What if the interruption that you're experiencing today is really an invitation to something greater? What if this divine detour that God is trying to encourage you to go down, right, it is something that is just from God, and he's trying to lead you into this direction? Well, what if there's this heavenly GPS? What is GPS? God's positioning system, right? Right? What if there's that? That's happening in your life, and he's trying to reposition you, and you're fighting this interruption when really it's just an invitation to something greater. So God's interruptions are often inconvenient. What we call interruptions, God calls invitations. But here's the other thing. God's purpose is often different than our plans. We need to understand that. God's purpose is so often different than our plans. And with this news, let me tell you, Mary is probably not going to plan a gender reveal party. You know? She's probably not going to plan that, but she did have plans. She did have things, because in this day, some of the customs for Jewish weddings, I mean, they were so extravagant, so detailed. There's these three main stages for Jewish weddings. There's the engagement where the fathers on both sides, they actually come to a formal agreement. And then there's the betrothal, this very formal process. There's a ceremony, and mutual promises are made. Very big deal. And then, of course, the wedding about a year later, when the marriage actually takes place and the bridegroom comes for his bride. And when a couple was betrothed, let me just say this, they were under the obligation of faithfulness, and a divorce was required to break the betrothal. So this wasn't this just casual agreement and casual promise. It was very, very serious at this moment. Families have already made arrangements. Covenants have been sealed. And for years, Mary and her family have been preparing for this beautiful moment in her life. She has been a good daughter, faithful to God. She's been an honorable young woman. And now, this is the news that she gets. And let me just say this, for a young girl in the first century Eastern culture, this would have been the most terrifying, lonely, fearful moment in her life. Have you ever been there where God has just completely changed all of your plans all at once? Just like that. I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't planning this. Are you kidding me? I think for me, as I think about this, whenever God has asked me to do something, at a minimum, it felt weird, but at a maximum, it was terrifying. And so here's what Mary says next. She says this in Luke 1:34. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this be? I am a virgin." Let me translate that. It wasn't just impossible, it was absurd. Unthinkable, utter ludicrous. And perhaps you're here today and you're thinking the same thing. The thing that God is asking you to do, calling you to do. You're going, this is impossible. This is hilarious. This is unthinkable. This cannot happen. And maybe you've told yourself things like, my marriage will never work. I've tried everything. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, my kid is never going to return back to Jesus. It's been years, decades even. There's no way. It's impossible. Maybe you're here today and you said, man, I'm never going to find a job. I just can't. I've tried and tried and tried again. I'm never going to get out of this debt. I cannot survive the season that I'm in. I can't raise a kid on my own. I don't know what I'm doing. I could never lead that ministry or start that business or confront that person. And you're sitting here saying, this is absurd. God, why would you ask me to do something that is virtually impossible? No human has ever done this. But here's what the angel says. Verse 35, the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God. Would you say that with me? For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. I want to ask this question, and I want this to ruin your sleep and your week. I want it to wreck your life, okay? What is God asking you to do or believe? What is God asking you to do or believe? The thing that you've been ignoring, the prompting that you've been avoiding, what is the thing God is asking you to do or believe? And all throughout Scripture, God has used people who were interrupted, inconvenienced, and used for God's purpose, and it all seemed, listen, impossible and absurd. When Noah, think about it, when Noah was asked to build an ark, what's an ark, Noah? I don't know. Well, why are you building it? Because rain is coming. What's rain? Not sure. So you're building, I don't know, for not sure. Yep. Right? When Moses had this Red Sea in front of him, an Egyptian army behind him, and a multitude of people staring at him, but it's okay, because he's got a stick. What? Okay. When Sarah in her old age got pregnant and now needs to go shopping in the maternity section at Target, and she's trying on clothes for herself, like, this is different, this is strange. Can you imagine the Israelites who are walking around Jericho for 6 days and now starting the seventh day to do the same thing that has produced zero results with the worst battle strategy known to man, right? This is absurd. When the boy stood to face Goliath on a hill with just a slingshot and he goes down into that valley, this is absurd. When Esther walked into the king's chambers when she was summoned, but she wasn't, and it meant death. When Peter stepped out of the boat in the middle of a storm, when the wise men followed the star for directions rather than Siri, right? This is not how we do it. When Peter, right, he stepped out of the boat, when Paul and Silas, when they began to sing Hillsong's newest single, right, in prison, we're going to worship right now? Right now? Yeah, right now. When there were thousands of hungry people and all the boy had was his 5 loaves and 2 fish. When Mary was told she was going to be pregnant. When the God of heaven and creator of all the universe came down and offered his life as a ransom for many by an excruciating and humiliating death on a cross. That's the King of the Jews? That's your Messiah? Is absurd. You see, no one has ever done anything significant for the kingdom of God who are not willing to be interrupted, inconvenienced, and obedient to his purpose rather than their own plans. Because even though it seemed impossible and absurd, everyone listen, Noah and his family were saved from the flood. Moses did see the Red Sea part. Sarah did give birth to Isaac. The Israelites saw the walls of Jericho come crashing down. David did defeat Goliath. Esther stopped the Jewish genocide. Peter walked on that water. The wise men found the Messiah. Paul and Silas were freed from prison. The little boy's lunch fed a multitude of people. And Mary did give birth to the Savior of the world. Jesus lived a sinless life, died on the cross, rose from the dead, defeating death and the grave. He holds the keys to the kingdom. And if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, then the same Spirit that lives in you and me, that raised Jesus from the dead, is here with us. And I just need to ask then, what is God asking you to do or believe? What is he calling you to do or believe that you've been just hesitant? I pray that today that you would overcome that fear and that you would step out in faith and trust God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the story of Mary. Thank you so much that she was obedient to say, I am the Lord's servant. Lord, let that be our attitude as we leave today, whatever it is, for nothing is impossible with God. May we be obedient to that. May we follow your will. And in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.